What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 607th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, Steve. With me is Hannah. I don't know why I said that so funny.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've ever heard my name pronounced that way before. I'm here. Pokemon Presents happened. It happened.
It did.
Yes.
At supersonic speeds.
And very early in the morning. Greg, also here.
Okay, it's not that early. I was up into my email at work.
It was early.
It was 6 a.m. here. Yes. I had to wake up at 5:50 a.m.
It was 8 a.m. That is a normal work day.
It was like,
also blocked off tentatively. Like, okay, this will be about 20 minutes where I'm not available in Teams. Do not bother me at work. I have something to watch.
Hey, if you're
don't need to know what it is.
UK, it was like 2 p.m. or something like that.
My boss listens to the show. My boss knows what I was doing at 8 a.m. The conversation shortly after it was done.
So what we're saying is, if you're on the show, we're guaranteeing you a job offer. This show gets you jobs.
Something did.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the presents today. And we're just going to go through that. I'm sure there's other little bit of Pokemon news that we could be talking about, but there's always next week. So let's just focus on the presents today and go from there. If you haven't watched the presents, it's like 13 minutes of you. I cannot imagine anyone listening to a Pokemon podcast that comes out weekly would not be up to date with the presents. Maybe you missed it, though. Maybe you missed it and you're just like, I'm going to listen to the show. I'm going to get the news. We're going to give you the news. We're actually going to start backwards, too. And we're going to talk about the thing that you would think we would have a lot to talk about, but we have the least amount of information. So we're just going to get Pokemon Legends ZA out of the way. Let's be frank here. They didn't show any gameplay.
They did not.
Definitely not.
So I'll read the press release. We'll talk about it. You would think that we would spend the majority of the episode on this. It would just be us speculating, which I'm sure we will still speculate, but
I have ideas.
There's literally a paragraph here, and that's it. It's not even a paragraph. It's two sentences. Pokemon Legends Z-A. I think everyone's just calling it Z. I don't think we're saying the hyphen.
Are they calling it Za, like pizza?
Yeah, Pokemon Pizza is what I'm calling it. It's an ambitious new entry to the Pokemon video game series, will be released worldwide. I don't know why they needed to make every game has been worldwide since X and Y. Worldwide on Nintendo Switch in 2025. An exciting new adventure awaits players within Lumiose City, where an urban redevelopment plan is underway to shape the city into a place that belongs to both people and Pokemon. If you want more information, and then they have their little website. So yeah, this was what they ended with. The Za.
The Za.
And it was so exciting.
Yeah, let's start off with Hannah. What do you got? Give us your thoughts.
I mean, I'm just enjoying everybody's enjoyment from it primarily. There's a great video up on YouTube of the reaction of everybody who was in Nintendo New York for this announcement. And it's just, first it shows it's Game Freak. Then it shows it's not Unova Pokemon, it's Kalos Pokemon. And then you get the Legends, and then you get the Mega. And it's just and somewhere in there is 2025 and not 2024.
Yeah.
And the hype is just growing and growing and growing. And the cheers are huge in that video in Nintendo. And it's just super exciting. I need to replay Pokemon X and Y for this.
Is the hype that Game Freak came across the screen, or is the hype it didn't say Ilka?
Probably the latter.
Yes. They were not chibi.
Yeah. Well, we also don't know what the game is for sure going to look like. That was...
We saw literally nothing. Literally, there's here's a weird Tron version of the city.
It
was like a blueprint. I would say Tron. Yes. I would say like blueprint.
Blueprint. Yeah. That was clearly, they don't have, at least as far as I can tell, it looks like they don't have a solid art decision on what the game is going to end up looking like yet. And so they just didn't want to give any idea beyond just the like file folder vibes. in the very strong. Beginning of the announcement.
Well, it says totally it does strong. Say this trailer does not contain actual game footage.
Yeah, no.
No kidding.
So we're safe there. I think the big question is, like, we don't know what a Legends game is because we only got one. And so, like, the first place my head went to was, does this have weird Pokeballs? Does it have regular Pokeballs? Is it going to do the thing where, like, these characters, like Clamont, are, this is Clamont's ancient ancestor? Or is it going to be like, this is Clamont's future ancestor? Right? Like, we don't even know the time zone it's in.
We don't know the time.
We have a hint at the time zone. Because Lumios, this is speculating, but it's a hint that leads to speculation.
Away. Speculate me.
The city that we know that it's going to be based in, Lumios City, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Names are not my strong suit. Lumios City is based on Paris. Yes. There was a very large, significant reconstruction of the city of Paris in the 1800s, about the same time frame as what happened in Legends Arceus.
Is Legends 1800s?
Yep.
Oh.
In Hokkaido, specifically, yeah.
So here's the question I have.
We have that hint.
Where in Lumio City can we save that won't get
that
our
won't
game,
cause
to
the
crash?
Game to crash? Yeah, that was my first thought. I'm like, oh, you're really tempting fate with this one. There's a couple of things that I sort of been thinking about what the game could be, or what I would be interested in the game based off of the logo. So the fact that it goes Z to A is very specific. It suggests going backwards. My initial thought of just also looking at the logo of the tech in the Z and the plant nature in the A, that there is some aspect of switching between the past and the present, where there's a problem in the present and then you're able to go in the past, fix it in the past, so it's built in a certain way to fix a thing in the present, so that the aspect of time travel that exists, especially if you are somewhat of a continuation of your character from Legends Arceus, who is from Kalos, because you're wearing the Kalos shirt when you arrive.
Only the male character.
Only the male. The girl's wearing Sun and Moon.
It is possible that there's a connection with that, and then you can travel back and forth.
Okay, well, hold on. We all thought there was going to be time travel in Scarlet and Violet. That didn't happen.
No. That is just pure, like, what I would find interesting, because they have pretty much said it's only within Lumio City. What does that look like? And what does within mean if it's an urban redevelopment? So keeping that theme, I'm like, it'd be interesting to me if you are traversing between two time periods to fix problems.
I like that idea because I want to know more about how they're weaving this multiverse. Mm-hmm. But I will also point out that the pattern on the Z in the logo that you were kind of describing as futuristic is Zygarde scales.
Zygarde cells. Yeah. It is.
I mean, the also, A is also they... Zygarde cell. It's just, isn't that just a close-up of, like, the cell form before he gets his scales?
Is it?
Yeah. It's like Squishy. I think that's its name in the anime, right? Squishy?
That is.
Squishy?
Yeah.
But there's not a...
There's no veins in Squishy?
I mean, the color's the same, no. Squishy's just solid.
Yeah, Squishy's just solid.
Squishy is solid.
There's a lot to think about also. So if it is set after... So if it's set after the war, but before...
Well, the war was 3,000 years ago.
The war was 3,000 years ago. So if it's set after the war rebuilding period, but before the modern games, Xerneas is a tree and Yveltal's a egg. They don't come back to life until the things of X and Y. The whole lore of that region is they sacrifice themselves to be part of the whole stopping the big cannon problem. And then they aren't alive again until you reawaken them in X and Y.
No, that's not true. They're not alive until you run down a hallway, battle four versions of Pitbull, Mr. Worldwide, and then you awaken them after defeating Lysander wearing a Virtual Boy for whatever reason.
Yeah, but that's because he's cool.
Wearing an Apple Vision Pro.
Oh, they called it first.
I mean, some people have been saying that Yveltal and Xerneas are coming back based on the... very, very, very tiny slivers of red and blue that you can see on the hyphen in the logo. But I will say red and blue is in Zygarde too. Zygarde has red and blue and it's in its final form too.
There's no doubt that Zygarde and Yveltal won't be in here somewhere. Like I cannot imagine they're gonna make a game without those two.
Yeah. Existing. What I really want to know is what the plant pattern in the A is. That's my biggest question so far, I think. Because it's non-squishy.
I feel like I remember X and Y pretty well. I've played through both of them normally. I did a shiny badge quest in one. I did an egg lock in the other. Egg lock is just a Nuzlocke, except people send you eggs. Like, I've played through these games a lot. And relatively recently. Like, I didn't do all of this 10 years ago and then, like, have these, like, thick nostalgia visions. Like, of, like... No, I did a lot of this stuff recently. And one of the things I do remember is, like, Lumio City in X and Y is... also, like, not fully finished. Like, they have, like, the power outage.
Yeah. We need to be able to go into buildings in this game. If it's all based in a city, there needs to be an inside to the buildings.
Yes, there does.
The one concern I did see on social media and everything is people saying that this might be a small game because it, from what the website says and from what the Nintendo Twitter says, that the whole game will take place in the city.
Yep.
And I don't know why that is a concern for people, because a lot of games just focus on one city. There's this like really tiny game. It got big all of a sudden. You might not have heard of it, but it's called Grand Theft Auto. And they made a couple of them. They made a Vice City. They made a San Andreas. Those games all take place in one city.
Cities are big.
They
just need to be scaled, right?
Like, I would love to talk about this in a future episode. My complaint of, like, the Johto region and Harkold Soul Silver and Gold and Silver is that Johto is just too small, and I feel like it does a disservice to that region. And if we were ever to go back to Johto, I would like to just... I don't want to see Kanto. I just want to see an expanded, fleshed out, big Johto. So, anyways, flipping back to ZA... obviously, this game has to be bigger than what you remember just normal Lumio City and X and Y to be.
I mean, Lumio City seems to be divided into some very distinct districts. Even the map, there are some pretty distinct lines. There are the five plazas. That suggests to me, at least, those will be distinct regions that you are moving into. The question is like, is your home base the tower in the center and you're traveling out into them? Is one of them your home base and then you're traveling to the others? Like, how are they going to use this map? But the map is very clearly divided into pizza slices.
Yeah.
Fitting with the Za theme. It's got pepperoni on it.
Here's my speculation that it won't be open world game and it will be like,
I hope not.
It will be like Arceus, where each pizza slice is what you have to unlock. Yeah. And they can do it very tongue-in-cheek. Because when you first get to Lumios and you try to go right, they're like, we have no power over here.
We have no power over here.
And so I wonder if you're setting power to each of these regions to then, quote-unquote, open them. It could be like it's open world at the very end. We're like, oh, okay, you've opened all the pizza slices, and now you can go in a complete circle. But I don't expect you to, I can go to any piece to slice right off the bat and do it. I wonder if it's almost like a clock of opening the pizza slices one by one. Because, yeah, Craig's right. It does look very structured.
I hope it's less confusing than Lumios was in the I'm just taking a taxi. I know the stone store is around here somewhere. Yeah. I'm just going to take a taxi because I cannot be bothered to find it anymore. Take me to Lysander's Cafe. I want hot tea and angsty teens, please.
To be fair, in games like Vice City or in Spider-Man or in Infamous or in any of these games that take place in a city, there are parts of the city that are technically blocked off until you complete a mission. Like, some of those games are probably, I'm misremembering where you can go there. It's just not a lot to do. But I remember specifically in like both Infamous games, it's like you have to set power to this part of the city to like open it.
I forgot Infamous was a game.
Those games were good. They were made by the Sly Cooper people. And those games are also good, too. The Sly Cooper game. I think they're Sly Cooper. Yeah, because you can, like, stand on the tippy top.
The thief, the fox thief's that Sly Cooper?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That team went on to make Infamous. I think they just announced layoffs, too, unfortunately. Insomnia, I believe, is the developer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, they were recently just in the news.
Welcome to layoff land.
2025. That was one of the first things I noticed. Now, mm-hmm. Let's put a little asterisk here. Ilka could be making a game. We just know that Game Freak won't be coming out with a game this year.
Yeah. The people are like, oh, we're skipping over remakes. I'm like, are we? we don't know that for sure. Because it wasn't announced at this one does not mean it is off. It is off the
records. Like I did a huge YouTube video about Pokemon Day and how a lot of games aren't actually announced on Pokemon Day.
Yeah. Sometimes
more and
they
more,
don't.
It feels like they are bringing things into Pokemon Day, though.
Yeah,
I will say, they hyped this up well with a big countdown. And
they hyped it up and then hit 2x speed for the first half of that presentation.
Yeah, holy cow.
That's true.
I was like,
it was way too fast.
When we got to the Unite part, and I'm like, there was a code! I saw it for 2 seconds. I guess I'm going online
I
to
did
find
not
out
like
what the code was.
The first 6 minutes of that present, literally everything they announced could have gotten an extra 30 seconds to a minute, and it would have felt so much better. For Masters, they showed Silver, but barely. They showed Silver. They showed Silver and Tyranitar. But like usually for Masters, they're like they have a really good animated cutscene.
Yeah,
and then they'll say like, "We did get a 100 free pulls, but they never said it in the presents at all."
No, it was I was just blown away at how super speed that first half was. I was just like, "What is happening right now?"
In the Slack, we do bingo cards for things like Nintendo Directs and Pokemon Presents. And I had a bingo card in front of me, and it was moving way too fast for me to even see if I was hitting any of the squares.
All right, let's talk about the elephant in the room here. I confidently said for the last couple months that I don't think they would use the word Legends again. And the reason I said that is because like I thought that like Legends really summed up the Sinnoh region very well, because that the everything about Sinnoh is based around legendary Pokemon and Arceus. There's not a whole lot of legends in X and Y, but I was wrong. They're using the word legends again. That being said, that begs the question of like, what is a Legends game, which is what we started off this conversation mm-hmm. with. I still think that Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, and Legends Arceus are way more similar than people give it credit for. And so if we were to carry that over into this game, both, I think a lot of people forget this, but both Let's Go and both Legends, they don't have abilities. So are we assuming that ZA also doesn't have abilities? They don't have held items. Both of those games were focused on catching. So are we saying that because this is another Legends game, is this also focused on catching? And when I say
especially
focused,
because it's in a city.
Yeah. When I say focus on catching, that like catching is the main goal. There are still some battles, but very confident that the competitive scene will still stay in Scarlet and Violet until Generation 10. They've already laid pretty good groundwork for why a competitive scene would continue to stay in Scarlet and Violet. Both Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, and Legends Arceus are new stories placed in places we've already been, which is happening right here. And then I think a thing that people also forget about those games is both Let's Go and Legends has this weird like level up candy system where you like you put candy do EVs. And I just like I like never did it in Legends. And I remember like my Twitch chat being like, oh, you got to like use the candy before you battle Volo. Otherwise, you're going to lose. And like I never put candy into anything in Pikachu or in Arceus because it was like I'm not struggling. And I know putting the candy in would make it easier. And that's like, that's not a bad thing. Like, I'm sure there are people that are like, I don't like battling. I just want to go through and like the candy is helping me battle. Like, that's totally cool. I just remember both of those candy systems being like, this is like, I'm glad this is here for some people, but like, I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, is this game going to have like a weird candy system? Those are a lot of similarities between those games. And so it's like, are those similarities going to be carried over into this? But we don't know because they didn't show any gameplay. They're just using a word, Legends. That even so, there's not a lot to go off of.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how we're going to do catching and training Pokemon in a game that's entirely based in a city. We haven't done that before. Mm-mm.
I will say, like, the city building, I don't want to build a building. That's it. I had, like, there's probably other reasons for other people, but it's the same reason I don't play Fortnite. I don't want to build a tower to, like, climb up and shoot. I just don't want to build things. And there was crafting in Legends, and it was, like, pretty small. It was, like, you can craft some Pokeballs. Yeah. You can craft
and once
some,
you
like,
got to a certain point, you could avoid it completely.
Yeah, totally. And at a certain point, I was like, I'm done crafting stuff. But you did technically build a town in Legends. Like the town got bigger and bigger, even though you weren't like collecting 20 wood and like 10 rock. Like every
you
time
contributed you contributed to the town.
Yeah, you contributed. Yes. The farm showed up and then the ranch got bigger and then like buildings got. And then I don't even know how you did it, but like the photography place got more and more like billboards on it as you went. Like you did. If the goal of this game or one of the goals of this game is to like make Lumiose feel more fleshed out, kind of like how you made Jubilife feel more fleshed out without saying like, go out there and collect 20 wood and 20 rock and 20, like, I think that would be cool. But again, I don't want to like make my house and then like 20 hours in the game, like make a bigger house and then like, I don't. I know that's a popular game style. There's a lot of like, I know also like survival games are very popular right now, but yeah, I'm like, even Animal Crossing on the Switch was like a little too much crafting and building for me. Like I can do a little bit until they push a line where it feels like a chore.
Yeah, I think that's why there was not as much crafting involved in the Happy Home Designer stuff. But, I mean, I think we just don't know at this point. The weird focus on city development that may or may not be story more than gameplay, the fact that it's going to be all in a city and supposedly not out in the wild at all anywhere makes me kind of feel like maybe this will be a totally new and different kind of thing, but we don't know.
We have not much to base a lot off. Like, we don't even have, like, gameplay footage to be... Like, we have a weird animated trailer that doesn't even really suggest anything. It's like, remember, this is what Lumio City is, and there's Pokemon and people in it. Okay, bye!
Yeah.
It's like, what is the game? And it is a long way away. It is 2025. It is this whole year away for them to drip feed what this game actually is. I mean, I'm excited to see what it is because they are appealing to a game that I really liked and I thought was a lot of fun, which is Legends. Exciting in the fact that they are going to continue that series in some form because they don't always do that, right? Like, they don't always, like, we've never had another Pokemon Conquest, even though I thought that game was great.
We've never had another sequel. Only one game has had a sequel. Black and White.
Black and White has a sequel.
Black and White.
Black and White.
Black and White. Like, we never got another, we got, like, what, two Rangers, and then that was done. We've had a lot of Mystery Dungeons.
I don't think any of those count, though, because none of those were made by Game Freak.
True.
Like there was this like group of people online being like, wow, they broke the pattern. Like what have you been living under a rock? Like if like like Game Freak for sure had a pattern up to like Gen 5. And that was the first time they truly broke that pattern, which was instead of giving us Pokemon Gray, which is when this podcast started, and you can go back for $5 and get all 50 episodes on Patreon, and you can listen to me for months be like, yeah, Pokemon Gray is coming, because that was just the thing. It was like, here are two versions, here's the third version. And they did black 2, white 2, and then we got X and Y, and then it was this the same thing for months. Where Pokemon Z, where's the third version? And we just didn't even get any. They just skipped it.
We finally got it.
Yeah, we're finally getting Pokemon Z.
They found it underneath the sofa. They're like, oh, we have to update this.
And like, no one expected us to go to like Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, right? Like, no one expected Legends Arceus. Like, that, I've just named a bunch of so for people to be like, they finally broke the pattern. They did, like 15 years.
They've broken the pattern for a while. I just am happy to see hopefully more in the Legends, whatever that, like, hopefully we'll sort of like be able to establish what a Legends game is when we get to. Of course, you need 3 to be a pattern, but I'm interested in where they go. I feel like for whatever we want to call my rose-colored glasses, that they feel they can be more experimental in other outside the game, like the generation games. Like, I feel like they feel like they can take more risks.
Outside of the ones that the competition is in. Yeah. Outside of the competitive games.
Yeah.
I feel so like, though,
I'm excited to see that.
I don't have a problem with like splitting main series. Mario does this already. There's 2D Mario games and there are 3D Mario games. And no one, I don't know, maybe there's some like weird Mario fans that are arguing that one is not main series or not. But they're both main, like they're both main series Marios. It's just the 2D ones play differently than the 3D ones, and some people prefer the 2D ones, and some people prefer the 3D ones, and then there are Mario fans that will just play everything, right? So it's not weird to me that like here's a series that may be more focused on catching and more limited in like no breeding. Also, fun fact, Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, and Legends Arceus don't have breeding. No breeding, like more catching, like simpler battle systems. And then over here is a more complicated / traditional game. And like, so that's not weird to me. But also at the same time, I could see like, does Generation 10 just kind of change everything? Because it is Generation 10. It is probably going to be their second best selling. Like, there's as long as this game isn't absolute trash and runs at probably more than 15 frames a second, I think this sets them up with goodwill going into a Generation 10 and kind of erases all of that from Scarlet and Violet. And the like,
we'll see.
The like,
they need to nail that landing.
The like, I was wrong about them using the word Legends, but I was, quote, like, I guess I'm going to come on here and say, like, I was right about everything else. Like, I was right, as in they were not going to do Black and White. It was too soon. They were not going to do Johto. There was not going to be a Let's Go game. I was right that they were going to skip this year. And I think that's the most important part. They're not skipping this year because, like, they're scared of, like, something else. They're skipping this year because, like, Gen 10 is still coming. And and if everything they've said, everything Nintendo said, everything that, like, has been put out there of, like, we've heard fans, we messed up, we don't want to do it again, these games feel too rushed, so here is, they have to put out something before Gen 10 to like restore goodwill.
Yeah.
So I don't think, for the record, I don't think they pivoted. I don't think they were like, oh man, Scarlet and Violet, people are upset, quick, another Legends game. Like, I'm sure they have their next like 5-10 years planned out.
I mean,
but they have to do something good, but also have enough time to do this and Gen 10, which is why they needed to miss a year. And this happened to be the year they missed.
But I mean, we've been talking about the fact that if you look at the time frame, having Gen 10 come out before the 30th anniversary always felt somewhat off, right?
Yeah, like 100%.
Your 10th generation should come out during your big thing. So I think we've been talking about, and I've been talking about, like, I've always thought that Gen 10 would not be until 2026. Mm-hmm. Like, that would coincide with their 30th anniversary. And the question always is, what are they going to fill it with? So we have at least one piece of that puzzle. This is what they're going to fill it with, right? I think it had been a plan for a while to not have Gen 10 hit until the 30th anniversary. It is just too good of a lineup to not take advantage all of that going into the 30th.
So it was shiny Rayquaza, but...
That dream is still alive, Hannah. That dream is not going
shiny
anywhere.
Shiny Raymond Quasar there's, still exists.
There's not a doubt in my soul that there won't be another legendary 7-star raid, and that legendary will be Rayquaza. They can't do any other legend. Well, I mean, they can. They can do a lot of legends. But Rayquaza is big money. Rayquaza bringing people back to the game. You just we're playing the long con on that one. But okay, so the other thing that I said is like they're not going to have a third DLC. And that third DLC is definitely not going to be Kalos. And I said this for months. And the reason I said this is because there's two things that maybe three things I would argue with Pokemon. But number one is they can sell you Pokemon for $60. Simple as that. Like, I know people always joke when, like, the DLC comes back. They're like, oh, they put Pokemon behind a paywall. The whole game is behind. Like, it's not a free-to-play game. It's $60. Also, once the DLC comes out, you can just transfer them in from home, or you can just trade. Like, they're not held hostage by some, like, money. Like... You could just trade for them, or you could raid for them for free, or you can import them from home. Like, it's not a free-to-play game. They can sell you Pokemon for $60, but they can also sell you a region. I think it's so ironic that, like, in Paldea, being very close to Kalos, which everyone always talks about, like, that little upper part, like, are we just also forgetting that Galar is literally, like, 10 feet away across the ocean? Like, Galar is right there, too. Like, it's super close. But that being said, you're in the Paldea region, and they take us to Unova, and then they take us back to Japan. We don't know exactly where in Japan, but they do take us to two other regions. So if anything, if you're rating Pokemon games by how many regions you go to, Scarlet and Violet has to be number one. It has one more extra region than HeartGold, SoulSilver. It has three. It's crazy. If we're just ranking games by regions, that's one extra region. Even if you were like, the Kalos dream is still alive, it's up there in the corner, why would they give that to us for $30? And why would you want that for $30? Kalos did kind of get a disservice by not getting a third version 10 years ago. So wouldn't you want to go back when they could realistically build it from the ground up and not build it off the whatever the mess of Paldea is, whatever that engine is that Scarlet and Violet is running? It ain't good. It's not great. I guess it's like a win-win because you're getting
we're still gonna get Kalos. Is gonna get redeemed. The dream of Kalos is still alive. And it's not in Scarlet and Violet.
And hopefully it's not running at 15 frames a second. Like, that's kind of
fingers crossed.
I know people are like, what do you want in Legends? ZA? Frame rate.
Frame rate. I want to not fall through the universe. It's like,
Here's, I think maybe this is the last thing we could talk about before we go to break. We don't even know, like, the starter situation. Just because Legends picked three starters from other regions, which I think was cool, doesn't mean that this game is doing the same.
It doesn't, but I am all here for Mega Superior.
I've already picked mine. I already picked my choices. I already put my bet down on what I want.
Snivy and Kalos just seems right.
None of the X and Y Pokemon are in Legends, right? It's not like, it's not like Froakie was one of them. So it'd be like, oh, they already used Froakie and Arceus, so they can't use Froakie and ZA. Like, they didn't use any Gen 6. I just wouldn't be surprised if it's just Froakie, Fennekin, Chespin.
No, don't be mean to Chespin.
No, Chespin is great. And the Quilladin is also great. Chestnut.
Chestnut's amazing.
Shiny Chestnut's pretty good.
It's a big armored paladin there to protect you.
All right, Megas. We all knew when they would, like, remake X and Y, X2, Y2, XYZ, Ultra X, Omega Y. Of course they would add new legends. Pokemon Legends Arceus only had 254 Pokemon, I think. Very small Pokedex. There's only 56 legends, or sorry, megas. There's not a lot of megas. So 50 some megas out of 1,000 Pokemon. I would be very shocked if they did more than like 10.
Yeah. I would not expect very many. But they're probably happening.
Give me 2 Pokemon you want to see get megas. I'll start. Incineroar.
I think that's actually possible.
I would love a Mega Incineroar.
We could finally see Incineroar on all fours.
Yeah, there we go.
Put a cape on him. I'm very into that. Wrestlers love capes. And of course, Cramorant. But I don't want the Cramorant to be the same like Kangaskhan. I just want like whatever's in his mouth to get bigger.
So you like still in his mouth, or it pops out like Kangaskhan and fights alongside Cramorant.
Oh, that would be that would be cool.
I already said, I'm here for Mega Superior. Okay. I think that would be neat.
What is just a bigger snake? What's happening?
Yeah,
give us a little background, Hannah.
It depends on what its second type is going to be, because they're going to have to give it another type for a Mega. Not necessarily have to, but
what would you want its second type to be? Grass what?
I was convinced by a friend yesterday that Grass Fairy would be interesting.
I was like, do we have
one? I don't necessarily
see
it, but I think it would be interesting.
I mean, I want Mega Roserade where it changes from Grass Poison to Grass Fairy.
Yeah.
Because it is part of the Fairy egg group.
Okay, hear me out. Mega Cramorant, but it changes from Water to Grass Fairy.
No. That destroys the essence of Cramorant. How dare you?
Okay, what's it?
This?
I said the second one
I would like to see is I would like to see Mega Delphox. I like Delphox's design a lot. I would like to see it leap from the sort of magey witchy thing into something bigger, magier, and witchier.
Is it not weird? I'm going to say everyone has to be in agreement here. It's very weird that the Gen 6 starters did not get Megas in the game that introduced Megas.
Oh, yeah, yep. No. That was like, huh?
And they never got them.
They never got them, and they never will, because they're not going to get them in this one either.
I don't know.
I feel like...
I think they stay on the shelf forever as a middle finger to everybody who wants them.
Well, okay, so like... Gen 3 has Megas.
Mm-hmm.
Gen 1 has Megas.
Mm-hmm.
Gen 8 has Dynamax.
Mm-hmm.
Gen 6 has nothing. Gen 2 has Cyndaquil in a different evolution.
Regional form.
Regional. So Gen 2, Gen 5, and Gen 7
have... Gen 1 has everything.
Yeah, Gen 1 has everything. But Gen 6 has nothing. That's what I'm saying.
Gen 6 has nothing.
At least Gen 2 has one Pokemon that has one thing, the same for Gen 5, the same for Gen 7. But Gen 6 has nothing.
Shut out.
Neither does Gen 4, and it still doesn't have anything.
Or? Yeah, I guess you're right.
No Gigantamax, no Mega, no regional forms, and we just
got... Yeah, but we got enough Gen 4. They got 2 games in a year, we're done.
We do have enough Gen 4.
We got enough Gen 4! We don't need any
more! But I'm just saying, this argument doesn't necessarily
hold up. Even Gen 4 fans are like, we got too much Gen 4! I don't want to see another Shinx in my life!
Like, not like this. Please, not like this. Please, not like this. To Gen 4, I say, go find a used DS, pop in Platinum, and live your best life. That game rocked.
Or play Legends Arceus. That game also was pretty great.
Yeah. Go play BDSP. It's on sale, I think, this week. Anna, what was your last Mega before we break?
First one that pops to mind is Mega Pyroar, because I think it deserves better.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
Does it change its normalness?
Like I said, it deserves better, so probably.
I mean, that's good. It can't be hurt by ghosts.
Fair, but it could be better.
Okay, we'll take a break. Hold on, I gotta get the last word in. Give me more Furfru haircuts. All right, okay. More Furfru haircuts. Give me more. All right, well, we'll take a break. And we'll talk about, I think, Pocket. The new mobile app they announced is actually the most exciting thing, because we actually know what it is, and that's why I think it's the most exciting thing. So we'll be
talk about it at the same speed that they did in the thing, so it'll be about 2 minutes.
Okay, perfect.
It got more time than the others.
This podcast is brought to you by Mint Mobile. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard for a limited time that all Mint Mobile wireless plans are just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online that cuts the cost of the retail store and passes those sweet, sweet savings on to you. All these plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. I can confirm. I've done it. They sent me a SIM card. It worked great. Pokemon Go, Pikmin Bloom, Monster Hunter Now, although I haven't played that one, but it's a Niantic game, so I'm assuming it's going to work like Pokemon Go and Pikmin Bloom. They all work just fine. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring over your current phone number. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/PKMNCAST. That's mintmobile.com/PKMNCAST. Cut your wireless bill down to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/PKMNCAST. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. And we are back from our break. Before we get to Pocket, let's run through some of the smaller stuff here. Let's start with Masters. They announced Silver and Mega Tyranitar. They announced Gita.
Yep.
That's all I have in front of me. What else did they announce, Greg?
They enhanced the profile section. You can take fun pictures of your sync pairs and make them face each other and pretend that they're in relationships that they aren't in. There's a bunch of titles you can get now. There's a whole lot of free tickets that if you sign in, you'll get free pulls.
There's the 100 free pulls that they, for whatever reason, did not mention at all during this presents.
Yeah, they mentioned gems, not pulls. Yeah,
you can get a lot of gems right now.
3,000. Red and Snorlax, Lucas and Dialga, and Gloria and Zacian are back. Which
you'll get a ticket. You'll get a ticket to pull. And then you can choose one of those three pairs just because.
Is Zacian not the best out of those three?
No, it is.
Oh, okay.
But some people already have Zacian, and so you have other options. But yes, if you're going to pick one, just go with Zacian. Plus, that lets you get Gloria in the Smooching Lodge. So you get more for that one than you do with the other ones. There's a new champion. The whole Gita storyline is there's a new storyline, which is pretty fun.
The point being,
does it have anything to do with Paldea?
Nope.
Okay.
I mean,
Gita is an interesting character that I think they could have gone into more. But if they don't,
her reason for being there is based off of her position in Paldea, and they talk about it, but it doesn't expand on Paldea's anything other than she's like, hey, I found my way here, and by the way, I'm better than all of you. So that's my deal.
They really missed an opportunity here with, I feel like there's been several Pokemon days where they have this really well animated trailer, and then people are like, oh my gosh, Gen 4 confirmed or Gen 3 confirmed, and then it just ends up saying Pokemon Masters at the end. And I thought, because we had the because of how mobile games work, that once the update is pushed, people are like, this is what's coming. And so when I saw Silver and Tyranitar coming, I'm like, oh, so the presents is going to have like a 30-second trailer, and then people are going to think that this is like a sequel to Johto, and then it's going to say Pokemon Masters at the end. But they didn't even do that.
People already thought that because of all the unknowns throughout the presents.
That's true.
I always laugh because they're like unknowns. I'm like, it's their alphabet.
Yeah.
The only thing that is still confusing is what it meant at the end.
It was just CU. It was just jumbled up. Because if you go back to the first one where it says Pokemon Presents, it was also jumbled. Yeah. It didn't actually spell it properly.
Yeah.
I think Unknown just can't spell.
Yeah. I think that's the real takeaway from this Presents. Yeah. These Pokemon don't know how to spell words.
They use that as their in-game alphabet. It doesn't mean anything anymore. I think Masters, there's just a lot to do in Masters right now. So if you want to jump back in, you're getting a ton of stuff for free. There's a lot of storylines happening right now. You can get Rylee and Lucario for free. You can get a bunch of good sync pairs for free, plus a lot of pulls. So if you just want to collect some people and then take pictures of them and their outfits,
I'm gonna log in right now.
You can do that now at your leisure. There's a lot to do that is just fluff. Like, it's just like, okay, I get to play with things in this because it still has nothing to do with battling. Although, did you get their email that's like, if you want a super exciting battling game, play Pokemon Masters?
I don't think I got that email.
Oh, I got it on both my accounts.
Something about strategic. If you're looking for a strategic battle.
Single player experience, Pokemon Masters. I'm like, what is going on?
I don't know. My Pokemon of the day that popped up was Electrode, so. Silver's outfit looks incredible. Looks very, very good.
Oh, yeah. It's his Neo Champion outfit, so.
I guess we didn't talk about this in the, 45 minutes we spent talking about ZA, which is much longer than anything they showed us, is that there's, I guess there's two conversations here. The first conversation is how every single quote-unquote leaker or data miner or YouTuber who covers leaks and stuff were just wrong. And they were all desperately trying to backpedal on Pokemon Day of no, it was Kalos all along, except they were all saying third DLCs or Let's Go Johto or Black and White 3, right? They were all just wrong. And it is mm-hmm. Frustrating as me hosting the show of trying to point out that they're wrong a lot of the times. There are some things they were right about for sure. Broken clock is right twice a day.
Not if it's digital.
you make a good point, Greg.
Then it's just broken and it's never right because it doesn't work.
The amount of people that just believed that this was going to happen because of those megaphones that they have is a little frustrating, because then, of course, they're wrong and then they're upset. And then it's like this weird media literacy is already at an all-time low. And then yep. You just have people saying, I know for sure I was right about this. And then, that stuff doesn't happen. So it's and then the other part of the conversation, which I think goes really hand in hand with that first part, is look at all of these references. So it has to be this. And I remember when Nintendo flew me out to play the DLC, and I actually never talked about this because I felt like if I brought it up, people would shrug it off. But when the Nintendo rep sat me down and she was she literally said this. Well, for those that maybe missed that episode, Nintendo reps like to not give you any answers to anything. So when I'm how big is this area compared to Kitakami? And the answer is you gotta find out on your own. Or I'll be how many new Pokemon are you gonna bring back? You gotta find out on it's always
yeah, yeah.
Wait and see. But when I sat down unprompted, she said, hey, there's a lot of references to old games here. They're just references. And I still think that Pokemon fans can't get that out of their head, where this entire franchise just plays to nostalgia. So when you go to an area like the Blueberry Academy and people are like, oh my gosh, this Lacey is Clay's daughter. Yeah, you're in Unova. That doesn't mean that Gen 5 remakes are coming. There were so many things in Kalos that were just Gen 1 references. The forest. The very first forest mm-hmm. you walk through in Kanto is literally Viridian Forest. It's just not called Viridian Forest. I can't remember what it's called. That doesn't mean that Kanto remakes are around the corner.
I mean,
but
they are.
We know, and this isn't something that just happens in Pokemon. When an Easter egg legitimately happens once, people are going to look for it forever. Just like when there was an item in the trash can in one of the games a very, very long time ago.
I still check every trash can.
People are trying to check every single trash can.
Trash cans. There's going
to
be something
in the trash cans. But like that goes back to the unknown. Is like the unknown came on screen, so people were like, "Oh my gosh, Gen 2," and it was like, "That's their alphabet. That's how they spell things."
I think the issue is that companies play with that a lot, right? Like they deliberately put in things that are meaningful and things that aren't, and like to use people's speculation and natural curiosity for both good and evil, right? Like, as long as you're talking about the game, they don't care how right or wrong you are, how much you read into something or how much you didn't read into something. The whole point was to get you talking. So when Janine showed up, was it Janine who showed up on the beach in one of them? And you're like, why are you here? I think isn't it in Diamond and Pearl? She's on the beach before you go to Victory Road. And you're like, why are you here? Because she exists in the world, right? Like, sometimes what they do, and I appreciate, is they're trying to make the world feel like people move around it and are region locked.
Yeah.
But also sometimes they're like, wink, wink. Did you see we put her in? That's because we were secretly telling you this. And you never know which is which.
Right. Like Grimsley is like the surf master in Sun and Moon.
Right.
He's like the best surfer in the entire world, which is really funny because that man shops at Hot Topic and like...
He gambles all of his money away.
Top to bottom. And then he's like the surf man. But that didn't mean like Black and White were also coming. Like, it's right. Not bad. I literally just said like Masters usually like trolls us with like showing a character to make everyone think. Like I think Greg's 100% right where they do use references. I don't want to say ill-intentioned. But they know like, oh, if we put something here, people are going to talk about it. Even though it's just like... we're just using our archive of nostalgia. Like, what part of nostalgia can we sprinkle in this region? Or what part of nostalgia can we sprinkle at the end of this alley? But
I think it was the combination of
like the nostalgia being sprinkled and then data my or leakers being like, I know for sure that Johto is the next game.
And it does. It happens in the Star Wars community. It happens in
it happens all over the place.
Communities. It happens in the Disney community. People will show up in the background and they're going to, oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, people who make these games also like to have fun and will sometimes put things in there that make them laugh, right? I wrote an entire book for Simon & Schuster and I have like 4 Pokemon references hidden in there. So if you look for them, you will find them. They are in there because I love the series and I could put them in there. It doesn't mean that I'm writing a Pokemon book, right? But one of the things I think as part of the media literacy commentary is people's sort of inability to keep perspective as to what is actually possible. And also manage their expectations that they aren't crushed when the thing that they imagined in their brain didn't come true. Like, it's fun to speculate. Like, I can talk about what I want for Z and A, but I know full force I have no control over that game. These are things that I would like. They probably won't happen, right? Like, I have
Omega Incineroar's
my happened. Hype. I mean, but I have to keep my own levels of expectations in check so that I don't unfairly judge something against what I thought it was going to be, right? Like, things deserve to be judged on the merit of what they chose to present, not what you expected them to present.
Challenge Venusaur, Charizard, and Blastoise in Terror Raids. I thought Greg made a good point. I didn't have anything else to add. I already yapped enough.
I challenged Venusaur with a big pink dog.
The Pokemon video game series kicked off 28 years ago when Red and Green were released in Japan on February 27th, 1996. You can celebrate by battling Venusaur with the ground type Terra. That will run until, if you're listening to this on Monday, that ends on Tuesday night. And then Blastoise with the steel type Terra will go for a week. And then Charizard with the dragon type Terra will return. And will not be a full week. I think it's actually only like 5 days for Charizard. But this is our first 7-star repeat. I do expect some of these 7-stars to repeat. So if you missed like a Decidueye or a Delphox, I do expect them to eventually come back. Part of the reason why I was like so confident of like not seeing a game this year was, as we record this podcast, the Paldea anime is still not out in the United States. They're not done with Paldea.
There's less than a week. Until it's out.
It's March 7th.
They're still not done with Paldea. But whether or not you hate Scarlet and Violet or like Scarlet and Violet, or Scarlet and Violet has these amount of issues, which is all true. I'm not going to disagree with anyone. They did set up Scarlet and Violet to be a long-term game. Like, we're going to see every single starter in 7-star raids, and we're probably going to see other non-starters like Iron Bundle or Mewtwo or Pikachu or Eevee like appear in 7-star raids. They, like, you might hate raids, but that doesn't mean, which is fine, but that doesn't mean they are not prepared for the next, what, the game is like 16 months old at this point, 15 months old, and if this game is to last 3 years, like most main series games, we have another 18 more months to go, and I expect all the starters, I expect another legendary to show up, like, I expect them to keep doing that. I also expect them to keep doing outbreaks, which there was no, well, they did an outbreak before Pokemon Day, which was the Pokeball outbreak. Who would have guessed that the epilogue, the thing that means the ending, was actually the ending to that game?
Surprise!
The epilogue was the ending. Anyways, so I would expect the lifespan of Scarlet and Violet to be continued with 7-star raids and 5-star raids, continue with the mass outbreaks, and continued with like a competitive scene. Now, if you don't like outbreaks, and you don't like battles, and you don't like raids, then the game is done for you. That's it. Like, the story is done. But I think as like a game with no monthly cost, a game with no microtransactions, a game that ultimately you buy once, plus the DLC you buy once, I think that's really healthy and good for a game to like continue to be supported this long after release. And I don't think there's anything wrong with not having a game this year when they're continuing to add content literally like every 2 weeks in this game. Like, it feels like if it's not a tournament, then it's an outbreak. If it's not an outbreak, it's a 7-star raid. If you've already done the 7-star raid, well, cool, we're bringing back Blissey the following week so you can at least grind candy. Like, I think they've done a really good job at that. Now, this wasn't the Rayquaza I wanted, but I still think the Rayquaza is coming. Come on.
Plus, these raids have Urba.
Yes, I'm curious if Blastoise will also have Urba.
Mm.
Because I could see them switching it up and being like, Blastoise drops bottle caps, like, more often than not. Because, I don't know, bottle caps are like metal, it's a steel type.
I mean, we are at the end, sort of. So that's when they start loosening up what they give away for free. So I'm not surprised that they're going to be like, okay,
here's some Urba.
Here's some Urba so that you can shiny hunt. Here's stuff to do to fill in the lengthy time between the next one. And it's we no longer have much of an interest in keeping it so tightly controlled.
Mm-hmm. It was funny because when I was doing that Pokemon Day video, 1 year for Sun and Moon, their like prize to go to GameStop was a single bottle cap. Not a gold bottle cap.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that. Just a single bottle cap was like, go to GameStop to celebrate Pokemon Day and get your one bottle cap. And now I'm pretty sure you can just buy bottle caps in Scarlet and Violet. Like, there's a, like, I think the Delibird store just sells a bottle cap for $20,000.
You can also get them real easily in the item printer.
Yeah. Back in Sun and Moon, you're like, oh man, that's so rare.
I'm gonna go talk to this person to get a bottle cap.
I need that bottle cap. I'm curious if they do anything with Charizard. We know for sure you can only catch one per save file. That they did state that, but I am curious if Charizard will have the same exact moveset or do the same exact thing, because I do feel like they've learned a lot with 7-star raids and how players play. Also, we have like a lot of cool Pokemon that would feel like it would do way better against Charizard that we thought 14 months ago. Like, I think Fezzendipity would be really good against Charizard because it's fairy type and it gets access to Acid Spray. So it just it would accelerate that raid way, way quicker. Fezzendipity wasn't a thing 16 months ago.
It's also cool.
Oh, that was the Scarlet and Violet news with that. And then Pokemon Unite, they did officially announce Cerulege coming at a later date. Maridon. Again, this feels like this Unite thing could have been like 90 seconds, but they were like, here is 20 seconds. We got to move. We got to hustle. It was like,
I don't know why they were hustling so fast. And there was a code in there. I was like, I want that code, please. It's Poke Day 24. Also, Unite's in a bad spot again. So,
is the Maridon release so good?
Is as bad as expected. To be clear, the EX ban is both seasonal, so it will be banned and not banned depending on what they want to do. Also, the ban only kicks in Masters, anyways, because you would still run into them all the way up to there. The question on everybody's, there's a couple of things that sort of upset me about that we're back in Mewtwo and Zacian land again, is it's overpowered, which means the next two releases are going to be judged against how overpowered Maridon is, and two very cool looking interesting play styles are going to be trashed because they aren't, I'm halfway across the map and I can just blow everybody up with lightning. Maridon is way overpowered, as is their want, despite them saying they're going to keep it controlled. They never do that at release.
That's how they sell those licenses.
That's how they get people back in. It will probably be fixed, hopefully, on a faster turnaround time. But if you find the legendary dominance and always, because right now it is very likely that you'll run into a team of Mewtwo, Zacian, and Maridon, and it is just,
sounds like Pokemon Showdown.
Yeah, I mean, it is just a miserable experience, right? Like, from top to bottom, that is going to be a miserable time. Even if they are bad at playing those characters, they are so overpowered. If you see a Comfy or a Blissey also, just surrender at the 5-minute mark. Save yourself some sanity. I don't think Unite's in a good place right now. I think it will get back there. Maridon is, I don't find the gameplay that interesting. It just is like a bunch of the other legendaries. Overpowered. It does things that other things can do, just souped up to 1,000. I'm hoping that Unite will get back in alignment faster, but it took at least 2 months for Mewtwo to get into some form of balance, and their balance was, we're making it EX and it's going to be banned sometimes. So I cannot say go back to Unite. I'm still playing it. I'm still fighting. Also, the Sparkle Spray is
sparkly.
I used it once. I wanted to see. I have weird glitter that makes it look like my camera's doused in Vaseline because
it
makes the figure.
Do other people see your Sparkle Spray?
Huh?
When you Sparkle Spray, do other people see it?
Yeah. You see it on the map.
They see you glistening.
Yeah, they see you shining. It leaves a little trail behind, but ultimately, whatever. You get 5 for free, and I will at some point maybe use all 5 and be done and never touch it again. You can get Maridon for free. As always, you play the dumb board game to collect sandwiches. It's sandwiches this time.
That makes sense.
And then once you get 1,000 sandwiches, you get Maridon for free.
Or you just skip it and buy them.
Or you just skip it and buy them, which is what they want you to do. Because right now you can basically blast your way through every rank with this thing.
Speaking of a game I'll never touch again, Cafe Remix. They added Gimme Ghoul and Golden Goat to that game. Sure.
That doesn't bring you back? Your boy? Your string cheese being served at the cafe?
I do like my boy, but I just don't like that form of puzzle game. I would rather build a building, and I already hate doing that. Here, let's talk about the absolutely most exciting announcement of the whole presents. Pokemon Sleep. Now we're talking. That was the good stuff. Also, they announced a bunch of stuff for Pokemon Sleep after the presents, which could have been included in the presents. It was this present was so weird because it was 13 so minutes and most presents are like 18, 20, 24 minutes. I'm just naming the like the last three presents before this. They were like closer to 20 minutes. This one was 13. It felt so rushed, even though
it felt really rushed.
Just give Unite 30 more seconds. Give Masters 30 more seconds. Give Pokemon Sleep 30 more seconds. Like, you're not. It's your YouTube video. You're not paid by the hour.
Yeah, they're not paying for it.
It's not being broadcast on like ESPN
by the second.
Yeah, it was really bizarre how fast they moved through that. I was just like, what is happening?
So they announced that legendary Pokemon are finally coming to Pokemon Sleep, which is Raikou, Entei, and Suicune.
Gen 2 Remix confirmed. Let's go, Johto.
Yeah, let's go, Johto confirmed. But because the presents went so quickly, it was very kind of confusing of like how to get those Pokemon. Well, first they're starting off with Raikou. So here, I have the Raikou thing. It says, beginning at the end of March, we're holding a Raikou research. You can exchange samples of Raikou mane that you collect during the event for a Raikou incense, and then you will be able to research Raikou's various sleep types. Electric-type helper Pokemon will be particularly helpful, so we recommend you raising your electric-type helper Pokemon to get ready. Electric-type helper Pokemon are Pikachu, Raichu, Jolteon, Pichu, Marie, Flaffy, and Ampharos. Literally, like, 6 hours later, they're like, we're announcing Dedenne, which would also be in this list.
Yeah.
It makes it, like, do we need the Master Ball for that, then? Like, if...
Probably.
Is it worth Master Ball? Like, it's very weird. They also announced that you'll get 10 Poke Biscuits and 1,000 diamonds, which is a lot of diamonds, for free just by logging in. So do that. They also announced that there's a new trial bundle, which will get you 500 diamonds, 10 Poke Biscuits, a good camp ticket. Oh, that's it. That'll be $2.99. A good camp ticket by itself is ultimately $5. Plus you're getting diamonds, plus you're getting Poke Biscuits. So if you're the type of person that like normally doesn't give mobile games money unless it's a really good deal, that's a really good deal. If you don't plan to give it money, then if this isn't going to entice you, nothing else will. This is a good deal. So if this is not good enough for you, then continue not giving it money. I support your decision. But it's a good deal.
It is a much better deal than most of their other bundles.
Yes.
That costs $20 to $50.
And then they announce Electric Type Week. So much of this was just not in the presents. Electric Type Week will be March 11th through March 18th. More electric type Pokemon will spawn. You will also be able to use the mini candy boost function, which doubles the effects of candies, but also doubles the effects of, or it costs more dream shards to use. More Pokemon will be hungry this week. Effects applied separately of incense and good camp ticket. Also, you can get rewards like Dedenne. Dedenne will make its debut. On top of Dedenne debuting, Dedenne will have a new ability in the game, which is called Tasty Chance Small, which will increase your chance of getting critical hit when you're cooking. You don't know what that is. When you get the little exclamation point above your pot, that means you've done a critical hit. During Monday through Saturday, it's a 10% chance every time you cook. On Sunday, it's a 30% chance when you cook. For those thinking that Pokemon Sleep is a very basic and nothingness game, you're wrong! There's so much to do. It's so advanced. I'm so into it. And I'm very excited for Dedenne.
The Dedenne actually sounds pretty exciting. I get that little bonus maybe once every 3 weeks. So being able to up the chances there sounds pretty great. If I keep playing.
And it sounds like...
Just dangling that in there.
The Dedenne skill will apply until you eventually get it. So when a little skill activates and you don't critical hit that next time, it's still technically active. It will stay active until you do crit. So it's not, you're not using the skill for the next cooking. Well, you are, but you don't have to apply it again every time you cook. It will stay active until the crit actually hits. So I don't know how that stacks, but it sounds like Dedenne.
It says on the website that it can stack up to a maximum of 70%.
Oh, so every time you use it, it's going to keep going up and up, which is cool. I don't know what that means when you have like a 7 or 6 five Dedenne on your field, but that probably would be inefficient. But I would assume that like Dedenne sounds very good.
Three Dedenne and 2 ingredient finders.
Yeah, Dedenne sounds very good regardless of what you're doing. A Dedenne will when Dedenne does appear, which is March 11th, it will only be on green grass and it will only be on lapis. And I think on green grass, it's not going to start appearing until you get to ultra. On lapis, it won't start appearing until you get to great. So just keep that in mind. Probably a better chance of Dedenne and lapis because green grass has a lot of other.
Has a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot on green grass. So I don't know. Pick your battles.
I mean, I'm on lapis now. And I'm staying there until I get high ranks.
You're just going to.
Dedenne is also showing up during the electric type weeks, though. Probably higher chances.
Yeah, we would hope. We can only hope. But yeah, I think a lot of Pokemon Sleep. It was, again, a bit of a bummer they didn't show any of that during the.
They had a neat little Raikou animation.
Yeah. And I feel like announcing Electric Week is coming and Dedenne, Electric Week coming, Raikou, that's like 90 seconds.
Yeah, it just felt so weirdly abbreviated and also at like lightning fast speed.
Abbreviated is that's a. the whole presents just felt very abbreviated. Let's talk about the very last thing. We could mention they brought up the anime. It's coming soon. It's the carrot on the stick has been very long for the US folks on this anime thing. So Sleep, Masters, Unite, Cafe Remix, new game, anime.
Anime-based event in Go.
Anime-based event in Go, good call. Where they're bringing Captain Pikachu to Go. That was a surprise to no one since we saw that Captain Pikachu got added 2-3 weeks ago. And then Charcadet, Armor Rouge, Cerulege coming to Go. And then they did like a 24-hour, 48-hour hat Pokemon in Go, which was like fun and nice.
Party hats for Pokemon Day.
Party hats for Pokemon Day. And then they announced a brand new game, mobile. It's a game.
It is a game. It's a new game.
It is a game.
It is a game. It's called Pocket. It is I think the most shocking thing about this is it's being made by DeNA, which shocking.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Shocking that DeNA is making another game. Shocking and like good, because I think whether or not you like Masters, it's really well made.
It's very well made.
And so that is like, it's like the opposite feeling of Ilka. Like you see Ilka on something and you're like, ugh. But when you see DeNA and you're like, whoa, they're pretty good.
Yeah, I'm in.
Also kind of makes sense. We're not going to sugarcoat it. Pokemon Masters is a gacha game. This Pocket seems very gacha-y. Yeah. So it's in collaboration with Creatures. Creatures does make the TCG. I went to Creatures while I was in Japan. The Pokemon Company invited me. I think we've talked about it a little bit on the podcast. So I've talked about it on the stream. I wasn't allowed to like record like any video footage, but we asked them like a bunch of questions and stuff. The guy you see in the presents was the guy that I interviewed. He's the CEO of Creatures, the guy in like all black. Fun fact, he was also wearing all black when I interviewed him. It seems like the guy likes all black. His favorite Pokemon is Gengar, that was asked. His favorite TCG set was Tag Team, which I think was a super good answer. I think Tag Team was absolutely brilliant when it came to the TCG. And another bit of trivia, he says that he doesn't take any Pokemon cards home and there are no Pokemon cards allowed in his house. So that's a real fun fact about him.
Not one of those people with a Pokemon card displayed on the back of their phone, then, I guess.
No, I don't think so. I think he is. I think he's very business. I got the energy of, like, my personal life and my work life are incredibly separate, and I like it that way. And I understand. I can respect
totally
that.
Totally fair.
This is a collaboration with Creatures and DeNA to make this. It's ultimately a collecting app. You collect digital cards. You get 2 free packs a day. There is trading, where you can trade cards. And there is a small battle mode, so you can, like, battle other people. Or actually, I don't know if you can battle other people. You can do little battle card battles against, as far as we know, a CPU. I'm not actually sure if you can battle other people, but you can trade other people. That's, like, the whole mm-hmm. gimmick there. And then there's, like, they're called immersive cards, which are cards where you can, like, dive into the illustration, which is really cool. In retrospect, it is shocking it has taken this long for an app like this to exist. They did also come out and say that this is not an NFT app. I don't know why that joke went around. There have been plenty of digital collecting cards apps for a decade on iOS and Android, well before NFTs were even in anyone's mouth.
Yeah. Is this the Pokemon Marvel Snap?
Yes.
I've never played Snap.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people I know who are excited who want it to be similar to Marvel Snap. Like, okay. The collecting part, I played Snap for a little while. Like, the collecting part sounds the same. You get multiple versions of cards, and they all have different art, and you can swap them in and out. And, I mean, in Marvel Snap, you do fight against other people. Like, that's the thing. And, like, there's a little, the snap thing is, like, if you think you're going to win, you can snap so that the pot for winning, the points for winning are higher. So, like, if you really think you're going to win, you'll snap, because it also will force the person to quit, because they're like, well, I don't want to lose that much. So it kind of also guarantees, there's a lot of psychology in the Marvel Snap universe about how to get your people to quit, or when you snap or when you leave. But yeah, I know a few people who are like, I hope it's as good as Marvel Snap, because it sounds a lot like Marvel Snap. I would probably try it for a little bit if it's that fast of a gameplay. Like, Marvel Snap plays fast.
Honestly, I am kind of looking forward to slightly simplified TCG battles, because playing a full round of TCG can take some time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And this seems like it's going to be a whole lot quicker and faster and more easy to get into than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I just want the immersive cards. Like, I want...
Yeah, they're real pretty.
I was told by...
I want to go into the card.
Dozens of people that I would love Marvel Snap. And I believe those people. I believe whatever Marvel Snap is, I would like it. The barrier to entry on that is I do not care about Marvel at all. And I'm sure if I did a little bit, I would like Marvel Snap. It seems very cool from everything people have described to me. Another comparison here. I guess comparing time. Pocket is not TCGL. Which TCGL, mm-hmm. Pokemon Trading Card Game Live, replaced Pokemon Trading Card Game Online, PTCGO. And so the question I saw frequently is, why do both of these exist? And I think the comparison here is probably Yu-Gi-Oh! Yu-Gi-Oh! Has something called Master Duel, and then Yu-Gi-Oh! Has something called Duel Links. Duel Links appeals mainly to casual players and anime fans, while Master Duel is geared more towards competitive gameplay and is ideal for TCG and OCG players. And that's how Yu-Gi-Oh! Describes the difference between the two. I think a really, really important thing that people are missing when they ask that question is, like, why don't they just roll this into TCGL? Or why does TCGL exist then if this is coming out? TCGL is an American product. It is not available in Japan. PTCGO was never available in Japan. Neither of those apps... like, I don't know how hard or easy it is for a player in, like, Germany, Australia, China, South Korea, Japan to get PTCGL. I'm sure in most of those regions, it's fine. You make an account. I mean, look, we can make our Switches go to Australia to get a game early. When you buy a booster pack in Japan, it comes with 5 cards. It doesn't come with a code card. When you buy a booster pack in America, it's 10 cards. It comes with a code card to PCGL. So they're different. And also, most people playing PTCGL are not boot... First off, that app is not good. We'll just... it's just not a very good app. Sorry, bring back Direwolf Digital. They made a decent app to their to the limitations they had put on by the Pokemon Company International. Sorry, Direwolf Digital, we miss you.
They're still making games, and go play Root.
People are logging into TCGL to practice for tournaments and to climb the ladder. And that's really it. That's what they're doing. And that's fine. And that's what that's the service that is offering. There's no trading at all in TCGL. If you open your fifth Zigzagoon, it turns into dust. You're only allowed to have four Zigzagoons because you only need four cards in a deck. Any extra cards you have just gets crushed into dust. You can use that dust to buy cards you're missing. I am sure there are some people listening to this podcast that are like, I want to collect all the cards in TCGL. You can do that. There's not a huge incentive to doing that, especially since there's not trading. Whereas in like PTCGO, you could realistically complete a collection. And there was like bonuses for completing a collection. But that was also easy to do because one, there was no like dust to crush into. You just kept opening packs. And then you would have like, I have seven Charizard EXs. Cool. I can trade three of them to somebody else on the auction board or just literally do a trade. And TCGL doesn't have that. And I think that's fine for TCGL not to have that. But I think separating out these apps, they can both exist in the same world and not compete with each other because Master Duel and Duel Links do not compete with each other. They're different, as I described. And I think there are players, including myself, that want to collect Pokemon cards but don't want an entire shelf behind me with a bunch of cards and boxes that I don't know what to do with. Because one, they're expensive. Two, they're heavy. Three, sorting them is a month affair. I would have to quit everything in my life. If you have a 9-to-5 job, I don't know how you're sorting Pokemon cards. It's a nightmare. So
it's
having
so much
fun. having like a digital app where you can have that feeling of collecting cards, where you can like trade, where you get free booster packs. Who knows how microtransaction this is? And then to do like quick matches, I think is so incredibly smart and so exciting.
Problem is now I want code cards for Pocket anytime I get actual IRL cards.
Yeah, I'm gonna assume those code cards don't work.
No, they almost definitely won't. But that's what I'd want because I have no interest in the other one. Pocket looks interesting.
I think that's the big thing to think about, too, is like the only reason you're probably downloading TCGL is because you want to practice and you want to play more matches, which is like it's awesome that product exists for that, to like practice before a tournament, to test out a deck, to because like some cards are expensive, right? Like if you have, you know, Tapu Lele used to be an $80 card. And if your deck needed three of them, but you weren't sure and you didn't have that, you could like test on TCGL or TCGL and be like, okay, I do feel comfortable with three, or maybe I actually need two. So $160 versus $240, pretty big difference to be like, okay, I'll only buy two. It feels good with two, not three. But man, Pocket looks so cool. It's just like, I think it's so exciting to me because it feels like it's exactly what I want. Something light, something that like I just think about the concept of Pokemon Home or even the concept of Pokemon Go. And absolutely my favorite thing in Pokemon Go is like to trade people. Like I don't know if I scammed a lot of people in LA, but a lot of people were very excited to get Sigilyph for me. I was swimming in Sigilyph and I could pretty much get anything I want for a Sigilyph. And just like how excited those people were to be like, oh my gosh, I finally got Sigilyph. Thank you so much. Like travel to Hawaii for Worlds or something and be like, oh man, I'm just missing Charizard EX. And I'm like, I have all of these like secret rares or rainbow rares or whatever. And like to just trade somebody, that is so cool, I think, to me. Because I feel like trading doesn't exist in the actual current physical TCG. And I think the reason it doesn't exist is because there's so much money behind it. Like, it's hard for me to walk into a card shop and be like, oh man, I'm missing the Umbreon from Evolving Skies. Like, that's the one card. Spoiler, that Umbreon from Evolving Skies is $600. That's the going price for that Umbreon. So to be like, I have the complete collection of Evolving Skies, but I'm missing the Umbreon. And you walk into a card shop and be like, what can I, I have to trade you, what, like 30 cards just for this Umbreon to sit in a binder? It sucks. Like, I get that, like, people enjoy the money aspect of that, and that's cool, and that's fine. But if you're just, like, trying to complete Evolving Skies, like, to complete Evolving Skies is, like, 2 months worth of rent to get all those cards. It's just so expensive to do that. So to be, like, in pocket, it kind of dissolves that pricing structure.
I sure hope it does. I don't want any of that to carry over. Although, I will note it does say, as expected, that it's a free-to-start game. So there is going to be money involved. So yeah. Let's just hope the pricing structures don't carry over from IRL TCG.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be somebody on eBay being like, I got a number of Umbreon from Evolving Skies. If you PayPal me $20 and trade me a Pidgey, I will send you over this card.
Undoubtedly, but hopefully not too much.
Yeah. But anyways, it seems like a fun collecting thing. I like to collect. Don't know when they did say that's coming out this year. Have no clue when. They didn't say summer. They didn't say fall. So who knows? Hey, remember when TCG Live got announced and they were like October, and then suddenly it was like, never mind. next year. Well, did they say anything else specifically about Pocket? I don't think they did. Good trailer, though. That trailer, the trailer for Pocket was longer than everything before it came.
That's because it's a new game. They gave time to the new game. To both of the new games.
They said, players will have the thrill of opening booster packs, collecting cards, visual effects, immersive cards. Players will get 2 booster packs a day, no cost. In addition, players can engage in quick battles with streamlined rules on the classic system in development with DNA. And we'll launch free on iOS and Android. So, yeah, we kind of covered everything. Good trailer, though. Good trailer. It looks like you can trade. It doesn't look like it's Pokemon Go where you have to be local to trade. Somebody was trading on a bus. Trailer is accurate. You too, listener, can also trade on a bus. Maybe you're listening to a bus. Maybe you're on a bus right now listening to this podcast. Overall, I think this was a good presents.
It was just too fast. That's the only thing. You have to watch it 3 times to really get it. Get everything.
I think everything that they announced was great. Like, I think there's like the reasons to be excited, which is the whole point of a presents, right? Like, let's get you excited. The thing that bothered me about how fast it was is it felt like they were just like, let's just get in and out fast before anybody yells at us. Like, it felt like a weird defensive move instead of like, let's celebrate Pokemon, because it just went so, they didn't even linger on codes. They didn't linger on things. They just clip, 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 clip. Let's get in. Let's get out. Like, we don't want to take any more heat, which is sort of like when I was watching it live, I just kept thinking, why are you going? You have all the time in the world and a captive audience. Why are you going so fast?
It's crazy because like the points were so quick, and then in the past, because I literally watched every Pokemon Day video to make this huge YouTube video that I put out, which thank you to anyone who watched it, is like they would spend 3 times as long on like an original Stitch shirt launch. They'd be like, here are some new shirts, a bunch of new designs, you can get them tailored, now kids can do it. Here's like a video of a business guy getting on a bus, and he has like a little Charizard, and then somebody acknowledged it, and then they like looked each other in the eyes. It was like they told a whole story about shirts, and we can't even get 30 extra seconds of Pokemon Sleep, which had a new event that they just announced on Twitter instead. Like, it felt so aggressive of like, we gotta get through all this stuff, otherwise people are gonna be mad, or like people are gonna be bored, and it's like, don't worry about those people.
Yeah. Plus, I think everybody, I mean, I haven't seen anybody unhappy with anything. I'm sure those people exist, but
out of like the 800 people watching me, received. I saw one guy go, this sucked.
I mean, it seemed like a well-received presents.
I think a lot of people, they were real, like, they for all the games that are working well, they added things to make it slightly better. They announced a nebulous thing. Like, there's not a lot that was really offensive in that. It was just sort of like, we're adding all the things, we're going to go through it quickly. Like,
you know what was also weird? Is Go had a brand new season. And they don't. I thought that
was going to be detailed in the presents. I was telling people the day before that I thought that maybe we were going to get all of the new season announcements in the presents, and nope.
Why? Yeah. Just talk about your new season and Go. Like, what?
Yeah, I don't.
Like, even Go had its own trailer, and I just
expected
that trailer to be in the presents. The trailer itself, the Go trailer, was what, like 28 seconds long, and like. It just seemed like they could have just rolled that into the presents.
To be fair, Pokemon Go isn't making very good trailers these days. Their quality has gone down.
I think the trailer they played was very like safe. It was like
the trailer they yes.
It was like
yes, but if they had to make one for the season,
oh, don't get me.
I'm not sure. I actually wanted that.
We're already having the Ultra Beast conversation again of whether like Solgaleo or Lunala or like Ultra Beast, and like they're not. I've already seen that going around. And then who knows, like, I don't know. I'm like, are Niantic going to put Solgaleo and Lunala in the Ultra Wormhole things instead of the eggs? Because they do come out of the Ultra Wormhole. No one is debating that. But they are not Ultra Beasts. I don't want to have this conversation again. Yeah, the other thing they didn't mention at all was Hawaii, but I think that was intentional. I think like some people don't care about Hawaii, or some people are like over Hawaii, or some people just live under a rock and have no clue what's happening in Hawaii, or happened in Hawaii, I should say. I don't think anything's on fire anymore. But like that doesn't mean like damage isn't done. That doesn't mean there's not ill will towards like that. Like whether this was Pokemon or Final Fantasy or Diablo or Blizzard or whatever, like there is always frustration, tourism destroying Hawaii. But then there's also the Hawaii government being like, this pays our bills. I just think it was like probably like the safe play to be like, hey, if we just don't talk about Hawaii, we don't have to deal with any of this.
I think they also took a very long time to announce the dates for last year's Worlds, too.
Yeah, they didn't announce it. They just said it was coming in Japan at last year's presents. They didn't have the dates. So,
yeah.
Although it's August, we just don't know which weekend in August, which is
not super helpful.
I mean, Go does the same thing. Like, just announce all your events for the year. Like, people have to take time off. People have to, like, see if they can budget a flight. Like,
at least Pokemon Go announces the community days ahead of time at this point. We know which weekends they're going to be most of the time.
Well, also, we just recently saw the asset file for Pokemon Go Fest. So, soon? Maybe? Who knows?
Maybe.
Whoa, there's going to be another Pokemon Go Fest this year? Crazy! Who would have guessed? No one saw that one coming. Overall, I'm pretty happy with this presents. I wasn't worried about not having a game this year. Like I said, I think Scarlet and Violet has more than enough to keep going, which is fine. If Ilka is working on something, that could be announced later. That could be... If they're working on anything, maybe it's a better version of Pokemon Home, please. Like... Pokemon Home is what, like... 5 years old, I think, and hasn't had like a substantial update. It's had small updates to like add new Pokemon or to like fix things, or like that feels archaic at this point. I don't know. Good Pokemon Day. I just wish they communicated more in the presents instead of like relying, well, first off, Pokemon.com barely gets updated. Well, I mean, it does, but like even on Pokemon.com, you're like missing details. And like Pokemon Twitter is like all over the place of like the sleep stuff was on the sleep Twitter, and the competitive stuff was, or the raid stuff was on Play Pokemon Twitter. You would think that the presents would have everything for the day, and that was a weird choice, but whatever. Somebody made that choice. Listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, here's your reminder to leave us a review. That super, super helps out. I haven't said that in a while, but Spotify does reviews. Apple Podcasts does reviews. I don't know what is Google Podcasts dead? I don't know. I think it's still alive.
No idea. Google's just actively trying to kill itself, so.
Yeah. Whatever Google Android app you're listening on, thanks. I'm not sure which one you're using, but thanks for using.
If you're listening on Zune, you're the real one.
Yeah, if you still got that Zune. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Greg. We will be back next week, and I believe Horizons should be out by the next time we record this show.
Finally.
Finally. So, anyways, we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. This is another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super trying to figure out which abbreviation Pokemon Legends ZA gets. Is it
Plaza?
Is it that?
Yeah.
Is it PLZ? Is it
Plaza?
Is it just Pokemon Z?
No, because that's going to confuse people.
I think
it's Plaza.
I think you just go pizza. This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers, starting with Stephen, Kay, Tone, Stuart, Matthew, Bovine, Catherine, Josh, Jessica, Fumes, Courtney, Brian, Brady, and a huge shout out to our executive producer of Spencer. Thank you so much for supporting the show. If you would like your name read at the end of the episode, or you just want to support, our podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST to support the show and to join our Patreon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you all next week.